I'd like to read you one more passage of Scripture. There's one verse from the letter to the Ephesians, and it goes like this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It was early in the morning when a certain landowner went down to the local hemp agency. It was late summer, and his vineyard needed harvesting. So he found five workers and told them that he would pay them the usual daily wage, minimum wage, and sent them out into the vineyard to get busy. When he realized he was still short-handed for the amount of work that needed to be done that day, he went back to the temp agency about 9 a.m. and found five more looking for work. Rather than negotiating for a certain wage, he simply told them that he would do what is right and then sent them out into the vineyard to get to work. But even those five extra workers were not enough. So he went again to the agency at noon and once again at 3 and offered the workers he hired the same deal that he gave to the others, to do what is right. Finally, at 5 o'clock, just an hour before quitting time, he went back and hired five more men. Who knows, perhaps some clouds appeared on the horizon, and he knew that he needed to move faster to get everything in before the storm, or maybe he realized that the crucial mix of acids, sugars, and tannins in the grapes was at its peak for whatever particular wine that he wanted to make. Whatever the case may have been, with those extra workers, the job was finally finished, and the harvest was in. Now, a certain region that I know might tell you that this landowner needed to spend some time down on the East Campus taking a good class in agribusiness. For one reason or other, this guy just didn't seem to grasp the enormity of the work that needed to be done that way. He needed, it seems, some corn-fed smarts. But that's beside the point, and it was nothing more than a lame attempt to try to get you to laugh, which apparently you did not do. So we must move on and get back to the story. And remember that this is just a story, a parable, out of the creative mind of Jesus. Well, it was now time to pay all of those who had worked that day in the vineyard. The landowner told his foreman to call everyone to his office and that the last hire would be the first to be paid. With all of the others looking on, those hired at 5 o'clock in the afternoon were called forward, and each of them were given the usual day's wages, minimum wage, for their work. You can bet those first hired took notice. Then those hired at 3 o'clock were called forward. They too were given the usual day's wage for their work. Once again, you can bet those first hired took notice. You can also bet that they were thinking that if the landowner paid them that amount, wow, we must be getting something much, much more than that. It was then those that were hired at noon were called forward. They too were given the usual day's wage. You can bet that those first to be hired took notice. You can also bet that those first to be hired were beginning to think that a huge mistake was being made. Surely someone would step in soon and correct the landowner's mixed up compensation schedule. But then those hired at 9 o'clock were called forward. They too were given the usual day's wage for their work. You can bet those hired first took notice. You can also bet that a lot of grumbling was beginning to be heard among them. While they had no problem with equal pay for equal work,
they had many problems with the pay scale they saw being developed in front of them. Finally, those who were first to be hired and had worked a full day were called forward. You can bet that those first to be hired did a whole lot more than just take notice when they were paid. When the landowner placed the usual day's wage in each of their hands, all hell literally broke loose. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out why those workers, those first hired workers, were upset. People know unfairness when they see it. Come to think of it, I had a very similar experience, which I believe gives me a bit of insight on how those workers happened to be feeling. For years, you see, I had gone to my grandma's house on holidays and patiently ate my turkey and dressing at the card table in the living room, the so-called kids' table. Each year, I watched my grandma move one of my older cousins, first John, then Marcia, then Gail, up to the big table. Now, I was the fourth grandchild, so the next Christmas, it would be my turn. I was going to be moving on up, as the song goes, and I looked forward to it. But then Jane, my younger cousin, went off and got herself married. When we all gathered together at Christmas later that year, Grandma seated Jane and John at the big table. Jane leapfrogged me, while John, well, he just swooped in and usurped my place at the table. I remember Grandma looking at me and saying, "It's the right thing to do." Now, I love my grandma. I didn't buy her explanation one single bit. I was, after all, older than Jane. Not only that, John had never done any time at the kids' table. John never once had to eat dinner with mismatched silverware and aluminum cups. John never once had to listen to Diane and Susie talk about Barbie dolls or have Paul throw turkey gravy in his face. It just wasn't fair. It wasn't right. John and Jane were sitting at the big table, and I wasn't. You know, I'm still mad at them. The nerve of those two. Oh, I believe I understand the feelings of those hired at dawn very, very well. I know why they were so angry. Those workers had been there from the beginning. They had put in a full 12-hour day out in the vineyard. They had done 12 times more work than those Johnny-come-latelys. Now they were getting paid the same amount of money as the others. That was not fair. That was not right. And it made them very, very angry. We could hear some of that anger in the voice of the spokesman of that group who walked over to that landowner and said, "These last workers put in only one easy hour, and you just made them equal to us who slaved all day under the scorching sun." Those hired at dawn were indignant that they were getting the same wage as everybody else. Well, Matthew wrote that that landowner responded rather quickly to the workers' concerns. Now wait just a doggone minute, he said. I haven't been unfair to you. We all agreed on the wage which I gave you, right? So take it and go. I have decided to give those who came last the same I have given to you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you jealous because I am generous? Did the landowner really have to ask that question? Well, heck yes, they were jealous. Wouldn't you be? I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one who knows how those workers were feeling. This story is so upsetting because almost everyone sitting in here this morning identifies with those first hired workers. Every one of us here this morning knows exactly what they were feeling. After all, you and I are more than aware that we are very, very responsible people, right? We come in, punch the clock, do our work, and go home. We're not lazy. We don't call it sick. We're self-starters. We don't make waves. We get more done in an hour than most others do in an entire day. While we may not be in management or have an MBA, everything we know about business says that we are very, very valuable workers. The business, maybe even the church, could not run without people just like us. And while we don't want to make a whole lot of racket, while we don't want to call a whole lot of attention to ourselves, we do want to know that the boss recognizes our contribution to the company, even if it's just a few pennies more an hour than the newest employee. Anything less is bad for morale. Anything less hurts the company. This story hits close to home for us because it is something we have seen happen so many times in our lives. And every time it does, it makes us very, very angry. This parable is ridiculous. This parable makes absolutely no sense. No sense, that is, until you remember the rest of the story. You see, prior to this, Matthew wrote that while on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus and the disciples met a rich young man. He wanted to know what he needed to do to get into heaven. He told Jesus that he had been good all of his life. He had always done the right things. He had kept all of the commandments. He didn't drink. Smoke drugs. Nice, you can't smoke drugs. But he didn't drink, smoke, do drugs, or subscribe to the Longhorn Network. He lived an exemplary life. Well, Jesus complimented him. And then he told him that he lacked only one thing. Go sell all of your goods and give the proceeds to the Open Door Mission. Well, that was just too much for the young man. He hung his head, turned around, and walked away. As he did, Jesus quipped that it was harder for a rich person to get into heaven than a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. One of his disciples, probably Thomas the Thinker, later to be known as Thomas the Doubter, heard all of Jesus' words and rather sarcastically said, "Well then, Does anyone have a chance?" Jesus looked at him and said, "There's no chance at all if you think you could pull it off by what you do. There is every chance, however, if you trust God to do it. There is every chance, however, if you trust God to do it." Well, probably hearing absolutely nothing of what Jesus just said, good old Peter piped up. There's a reason that the old fisherman was the spokesman for this group. He was the one who was always more than ready to risk putting his foot squarely in his mouth by verbalizing what everyone else in the group was probably thinking. And he didn't disappoint at all in this particular situation. Watching what had just happened with the rich young man and thinking that he heard what Jesus had just said to one of his mates, he voiced the obvious. "Listen, Jesus, we left everything to follow you, our homes, our families, and even our businesses. We've been walking the dusty roads of Galilee with you for 3 long years now, moving from here to there. We signed on when you were just starting out and had absolutely zero name recognition. We have listened to everything you've said. We've watched everything you've done. We haven't had even a good bed to sleep in for the past 3 years. So what do we get for all of our efforts? What do we get for all of our efforts? Well, according to the parable that you heard earlier, that Jesus told in response to Peter's question, the correct answer was and is nothing. You get nothing. You don't get nothing for your efforts. And I know that's a double negative, but it sounds better that way. That's because the point of this strange story, this weird parable of bad business practices, is that God doesn't pay in wages. God doesn't offer salaries. Rather, God dispenses gifts. God dispenses gifts. Paul, the chief of sinners, as he called himself, and of which all of his contemporaries would probably agree, reminded us that none of us get paid according to our merit. For none of us even comes close to satisfying all God's requirements for a perfect life. If we were paid on the basis of merit, on the basis of fairness, on the basis of our performance, then we would all be working the graveyard shift in the furnace rooms of Hades. We are not given wages. We don't earn a salary. Rather, God offers us gifts. Grace is always a gift. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, was a bad day. It started out by getting gas to the lawnmower. It took me $12 to fill up that stupid can. Once I got home, I started cutting the grass. Apparently, I was not watching where I was going as I ran over the hose that someone had forgotten to roll up. Cut it up pretty bad. Then the bag slipped while I was refilling the water softener, and 80 pounds of salt found its way to the floor. I went to make lunch and discovered that somebody, probably the same somebody who left the garden hose in the yard, had put an empty jar of peanut butter back on the shelf. I tried to close my eyes and take a nap, and every time I did, the phone rang. It was Ella's boyfriend. For those of you who have, like Paul back there, I'd like to remind you that a good back by the front door really works well. Well, 5 minutes before six, I sat down to watch the Fresno State game. As I did, I heard a big crash out in the garage. Apparently, the screws that held up one of the shelves must have suffered metal fatigue. The whole shelf fell down, along with the 2 gallons of paint that sat on it. With the entire floor covered in white, I let out some words that made Bo Pelini look like the patron saint of anger management. My words scared out. They made Carol angry. After cleaning the mess the best I could, I rushed in and turned on the television only to hear the announcer say that T-Magic had fumbled once again. I just couldn't take it anymore. I stomped upstairs, sat on the floor, leaned on the bed, and just fumed. Very righteously, I might add. It was then that my beagle walked into the room, came over, sat down at my side, and put his head in my lap. Then Fred looked up at me with his big brown eyes and licked my hand. Nothing I did that day was deserving of that kind of love. I certainly didn't earn it. It was a gift. Grace is always a gift. Moses' performance before the burning bush certainly didn't rate him a call from God. but he received one anyway. David's performance after peering into his neighbor's backyard certainly didn't command a continued show of steadfast love, but he received it anyway. Peter's performance prior to the rooster crowing three times certainly wasn't deserving of forgiveness, but he received it anyway. Paul's performance prior to the day of that encounter on the Damascus Road certainly wasn't deserving of a second chance, but he received it anyway. Augustine's performance prior to that moment in the Milan Garden, Luther's performance prior to that day in the Tower of Wittenberg, Wesley's performance prior to that night on Aldersgate Street, nothing they did earned them that kind of grace. Everything they were given was a gift. Grace is always a gift. God doesn't pay us wages. God doesn't offer us a salary. This strange parable tells us that instead of what we expect, God gives us gifts. This parable tells us that whether we work a whole day or just an hour, whether we pick bushels of grapes or just a bunch or two, whether we're tenured staff or contract workers, the benefits of the job are all the same. Now, some folks might call that unfair, but other folks call that grace. God calls that grace. I don't know about you, but I think I'll stick with God. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, thank you for giving us gifts instead of wages.